amount of fun. Huge amount of fun. What I want to talk about today is hope. As I was flying down yesterday, I really felt God remind me that He's a good Father who likes to He likes to honour what He promises us. Does that make sense? And then as we're speaking on Father, I didn't even realise it's Father's Day today. You know, I book up my calendar and all of a sudden I get this text message from my son this morning. Hey, Dad, happy Father's Day. Where are you? And I'm like, oh, was that today? I didn't realise. But as we're thinking about Father's Day, I just really want, I suppose, direct the honour back to God, our Father. You know, and maybe today just take a moment to focus or contemplate on the nature of God as our Father. And I think if you look, if you listen to what I share today through the lens of God being our Father, and a good Father who desires to bless us with His smile and His goodness, you know, then hopefully you'll be encouraged by today. Just at the beginning, I just want to say that God does remember His promises. And I've got a couple of examples of that. If you're taking notes or have a Bible to look at, imagine bringing a Bible to church. Interesting, wouldn't it? The Bible to church. Everyone grabs their Bible. Okay, I'll grab my Bible. So in verse 14 of Exodus chapter 3, God's having this chat to Moses. And He's given to Moses a bit of a, not a dress down, but he's speaking sternly as a father. And He says, Moses, I am who I say I am. I am who I am. Say this to the people, I am. Yahweh has sent me to you. Say this to the people of Israel. Yahweh, the God of your ancestor, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to remember for all generations. Let's not forget who God is. He is the beginning and the end. But then this bit here. Call the elders and tell them, I've been watching closely. I promised to rescue you from your oppression. I will lead you into the land flowing with milk and honey. God hears the cries of His people and He says, I remember that I promised to lead you out of that. Yeah? And then if you skip the whole part in the desert, because that's pretty depressing, but if you end up in Deuteronomy is Moses' final sermon. It's a really long sermon if you read it. Imagine sitting through that. You'd definitely be having a 2 o'clock lunch. But you know, like Moses is preaching this sermon to the people and he's reminding them of the journey and who God is and what He said and why they're going into the promised land. And in chapter 7, it talks about, my Bible says it's the privilege of holiness. And chapter 7 of Deuteronomy, verse 7, Moses is saying this, the Lord did not set His heart on you, God's people, and choose you because you were numerous than other nations, for you were the smallest of all nations. Rather, it was simply that the Lord, your Father, loves you. And He was keeping the oath, or promise, that He had sworn to your ancestors. That is why the Lord rescued you with such a strong hand from your slavery and from the oppressive hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Understand, the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps His covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes unfailing love on those who love Him and obey His commands. God is our Father who does not forget the promises He gives us. I want to start with that. Because that's the good news, yeah? But the reality is, it doesn't always look like that in life, does it? You know, life happens, we go through circumstances, and I actually want to talk about that today. I feel like God's asked me to come and remind us who He is, but also encourage us where we are, if that makes sense. So I want to do that very, very briefly. Recently, my wife, Kathy, tomorrow you'll get to meet my family, not in person, but I'm going to show you a whole bunch of pictures of them and tell a whole lot of stories about them. So you'll get to see them tomorrow. But my wife, Kathy, recently had this very encouraging prayer time with God. And we were going through some decisions and it was a bit challenging. And God came to her through a message, through a podcast that she was listening to. And God said this to her, I remember the prayers you've stopped praying. I remember the prayers that you've stopped praying. And as she responded to that, and as she turned and faced God as her Father and said, wow, you're so good, He started to remind her of all the dreams that she had. and all the passions that were inside of her, and the drive and desire she has to help young women go through challenging stages and to help young women out of oppression and out of the hurt and the pain of their upbringing as some experience, and set them into a place of promise with God as their father, and them to understand that they're his daughter. God started to remind Kathy that even though she'd forgotten that was in her heart, he hadn't. And God said to her, I remember the prayers that you've stopped praying. And I want to say this, I feel like God's promises are often placed inside of us as desires and dreams. Dreams that we have, desires we have, a yearning or a drawing towards a certain area. You know, for some of us, it's serving a part of society. For some of us, it's ministering in a certain way. For others, it's serving practically in a part of the community. It's a dream or a desire or a yearning, something that draws us. And God's placed those seeds inside of us, and there is promises for us. But sometimes we get a bit of a disconnect between those. Like Kathy, we forget to pray about it. We forget that that was what he planted inside of us. And the reason for that is something that we all experience, as did the Israelites. It's called delay. God promised, as he drew the Israelites out of Egypt through that miraculous parting of the Red Sea. Like, if you've seen that, you're going to know God's God. And yet 40 years later, they're not yet in the promised land. They're not yet in the land flowing with milk and honey. They're not yet enjoying harvests from land and produce that they have not planted themselves. They're not living in cities that they did not build. Delay. And the truth is, for all of us, delay leads to what I often describe as broken dreams. And it's a really harsh reality that I'm noticing in society in New Zealand as I travel. I'm blessed. I get to spend Sundays with all sorts of family, you know, because I travel and speak in different kinds of churches, different denominations, and different locations. And it is a blessing for me, but the harshness of that is I also get to touch reality in a local community. And I notice quite often that people are carrying broken dreams. And I'm here today to remind us that God is our Father. You know, sometimes we can get divorced from hope. So with the hope that we once had, the joy that we once looked forward to, we get separated from. And sometimes we build a wall between us and that to try and protect ourselves because the delay brings disappointment. And I want to focus on that today. What does it look like practically for us? Well, practically it looks like loss of motivation. Sometimes we just, some days when I feel disappointed, I can't be bothered getting out of bed. You know, I get no momentum. You know, when I'm in a good space, momentum's easy and I'm always moving forward. But sometimes I've had seasons in my life where I haven't had that kind of energy and that positivity and that excitement and that joy about the hope that God's planted inside me. And so sometimes I slow myself down. The other thing that's really, really important that you be aware of, and sometimes I would spend a whole day speaking on this, is that we can allow our identity as children of God to be attacked in this space, in this season. We can actually question, as God our Father, we can question, does he really love us? We question, are we worthy enough to receive the promise? And the worst thing that you could allow to happen would be for a lie, which is opposite to what God would say, a lie to get planted in your heart where you would believe that you're not worthy enough to receive God's promise. That is not what the Bible says, and you must never, ever, ever allow yourself to believe it. But the truth is, people do. And so it attacks our identity. And so this space of delay and disappointment can be very, very risky. But God says today, it's time to reconnect people with their dreams. It's time to connect people with the prayers that they used to pray and the excitement they had about life. God wants to come today as your Father. Instead of you giving him a gift, he wants to give you a gift. He wants to give you a gift on Father's Day and say, I'm your Father, and I want to reconnect you with the dreams that I placed inside you as desires, yearnings, hope for a great future. No one's excited about that. If you're happy and you know it, tell your face. That's good. Excellent. All right, this is good news, church. All right, but it's not easy, is it? Okay? So very quickly, I just want to look at a young guy who struggled with this, and let's look at his journey and see what we can learn for ourselves. Joseph. Young Joseph, who was the runt of the litter in Jacob's family. We find him in chapter 37 of Genesis. He's Jacob's favorite, actually. Jacob buys him this special coat. Probably not warm enough for today, but it's a colored coat. Coat of many colors, and it sets him apart from his brothers, and his brothers don't like him. And yet God turns up and gives him a dream. He dreams, and the silly thing is, he tells his brothers about it, which didn't go so well, but Joseph had a dream, and listen to this, he says, "We were out in the field tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly my bundle stood up, and your bundles all gathered round and bowed low down before mine." His brothers are going, "What the heck? You think we're going to worship you? You're like the skinny little runt of the family. That's not how society works. That's not how our culture works." And they despised him for it. It's like a tall poppy syndrome in New Zealand, isn't it? "Oh, you can't be more better than me. I'm going to cut you down." Not how God works. But so Joseph has this dream, and then he has another dream about the sun, the moon, and the stars bowing down. And even his father's like, "Seriously, son? Like, all of us? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow to the ground before you? Don't ever let anyone steal your dream from you." And I believe when you read this story, you'll note that they, even though he was despised, even though they treated him with contempt, I don't think they had the ability to steal the dream that God gave Joseph. So as you know, Joseph in Genesis 37, he gets the dream, but then they sell him off. They pretend to kill him, and they sell him into slavery. And he just happens to get sold to an Ishmaelite trader who takes him down from the desert all the way down into Egypt, and they go to the market, and they sell him to a man called Potiphar. A man called Potiphar who's in charge of the prison palace underneath Pharaoh. He's quite a well-to-do man high up in the ranks in Pharaoh's kingdom. And Joseph is his slave in his house. But what I love about this is right at the end of that, it says in verse 39, beginning of chapter 39, Joseph was taken to Egypt. The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his master. And as you read that, you'll understand that everything that Joseph did meant that Potiphar was blessed. So one of the keys for us in the midst of delay as we're walking towards the promise is to serve faithfully wherever God's put us. Because regardless of if you're in the shadows or you're in the back of stage, or regardless of whether you're serving in a place and not getting all the limelight, God still sees you. God saw Joseph in Potiphar's house and he blessed him. Does that make sense? Okay. So one of the keys, I believe, for Joseph is that he served faithfully. So Genesis 39, he's in Potiphar's house. He has a really unfortunate situation with his employer's wife, which I won't go into. But as a result of that, he gets put into prison. Potiphar puts him in prison, and even there, he has favor on him. God sees him in prison. He gets elevated to a place of stewardship, and things go well. So Joseph is faithful, but does this look like the sun, the moon, and the stars bowing down to him? Does this look like that? No, it doesn't. And yet I understand from reading this and studying it is that no one, not circumstance nor people, had the ability to steal the dream from Joseph. We've got to remember that. I often say to people, never, ever, ever let your circumstances limit what God says to you. Never define your identity by what you see. Never define your worthiness before God by the place you currently find yourself in. Because he redeems everybody from every circumstance. If we just turn the page, Genesis 41, I mean, there's so much we could read about Joseph, but I want to highlight him as someone who had a pretty rough time. He went from the place of promise to the pit. From the pit, he went to Potiphar's house. From Potiphar's house, he went to the prison. And then from the prison, what we read in Genesis 41 as he goes before Pharaoh into the palace. And he goes from prisoner to prime minister in one day. It's an amazing thing to me that, and I've been chewing on this in the last 24 hours, is that the very mechanism that God used to inspire Joseph was the very tool he used to unlock his future, because it was the dream Joseph had that allowed him to step into the place to unlock Pharaoh's dream and therefore step into the promise. I found that interesting. Pharaoh has a dream about 7 fat cows getting eaten by 7 skinny cows. Dude just had too much pizza by the sound of it. But Joseph is remembered by the cupbearer, the one who tastes the drink and the wine for Pharaoh. And he says, oh, I've failed actually. 2 years ago I promised a young Hebrew boy I would remember him, and I haven't. He has the ability to interpret dreams. Pharaoh summons Joseph out of the prison. They clean him up, they shave him, they put some nice talcum powder on him so he smells nice, and a robe. And they bring him before Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, largest kingdom in the world known at that time. And he stands before Pharaoh and Pharaoh says, well, I've had some dreams. Apparently you can interpret them. And I love what he says. In verse 16 of Genesis 41, it is beyond my power to do this, Joseph replied, but God can tell you what it means and set you at ease. Always pointing to God. I love that about Joseph. And what we see is he gets promoted, and there's no one in Egypt more powerful than Joseph except for Pharaoh. 8 chapters later, well, actually not that many, a few 4 chapters later, his brothers turn up. And interesting enough, they bow to him. God doesn't forget our dreams. God doesn't forget our dreams, and I want to encourage you with that. But what's the key to connecting with that? The key to connecting that, I've got just 2 quick passages to talk about or point you to. Maybe this could be your devotional study this week. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 says this. As we pray, Paul's writing to the church, so he's speaking to us, you and me. As I pray to our God and Father about you, we think of your faithful works, the loving deeds you do, and the enduring hope you have because of Jesus. Enduring hope. So hope is something that endures. Enduring meaning that it perseveres regardless of time, delay, or resistance. Now I want to encourage you with that, even though I know what it feels like to be in the pit or in the prison or in a place in the shadows where it's not what God says about me. I remember what that feels like. And I've had to fight the negativity and the thoughts that would try and restrict me from stepping into out of the shadows and into the light of God's promise. And this verse says, Paul's praying that I would have enduring hope. Enduring hope. To fight and hold on regardless of what life looks like. Delay doesn't mean God's forgotten you. Delay doesn't mean you're not worth it. Delay means God's doing a work in you for greater glory, all right? And finally, the last passage, which, again, we could speak on for some length of time, and we sung about it with that third song, is in Hebrews 6. This is a really powerful passage that has anchored me before God in the midst of my circumstances. Hebrews chapter 6, what I love about this is the writer of Hebrews 6 is actually pointing to God as an example for us. And he's giving Abraham as an example. He says, God's promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater to swear by, God took an oath in his own name, saying, I will certainly bless you, and I will multiply your descendants beyond number. Then Abraham waited patiently, and he received what God had promised. So I'm in Hebrews 6. Abraham waited patiently and received what God had promised. Now, when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold it. And without question, that oath is binding. God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure he would never change his mind. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These 2 things are unchangeable, for it is impossible for God to lie. The first thing we need to understand out of this passage is that we need to focus on the character of God to determine how we respond to our circumstance. Because God is unchanging, he never lies, and he never forgets his good promises. We've got to anchor ourselves in that. God, despite how flexible I am, or how uncommitted I am, or how weak I am, God, despite circumstances that are pulling me down, and today I feel really stink about life, and God, I don't really feel like I'm capable, God hasn't changed. God is who he says he is, God is eternal, and he will never ever forget you or the promises he's given you. We've got to count on that, who God is. If we keep reading, therefore we who have fled to him, God, for refuge, can have great confidence as we hold on to the hope that lies before us. We've got to hold on to what we see in the future that we don't yet have. That's why Abraham is the father of our faith. Because God gave him a promise that he couldn't see, and yet he held on to it. And it said earlier, Abraham waited patiently and he received what God has promised. So you've got to hold on to those things that are not yet. Faith is the evidence of those things that we hope for that are not yet seen. You can reach into the future by faith and hold on to God's promises. And here's the final key I want to share from this passage before I close. Verse 19 of Hebrews chapter 6, this hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone in there before us. He's become our eternal high priest. What I love about this passage is it says to me that hope leads us into God's presence through the curtain. Hope leads us into the presence of our Father who wants to give us his goodness. Hope connects us to the one who gives us the dream. And when we stand in the very presence of God, nothing that would ever be fashioned to take us down will be successful. When we stand in the very presence of God behind the curtain in the inner sanctuary, when we stand there, hope connects us to our dream. And it reminds us of what we're doing and why we're praying. What I love about Joseph is he's a young Hebrew boy that grew up sitting around the fireplace listening to the stories of his father, his grandfather, and his great-grandfather. So as a young boy, he would sit around listening to Jacob tell stories about Isaac and how Isaac had an encounter with God at a place called Bethel where God reaffirmed the covenant promise that he'd given his family. Joseph heard that story and it inspired him and it gave him a connection to the dream God gave him. As a young boy, he sat around the fire listening to his grandfather Isaac tell stories about Abraham and how they had a really interesting walk for 3 days to a place called Moriah, where God asked Abraham to make a sacrifice, but there was no lamb with them, just the wood for the fire and the knife and the flint. And Isaac would tell Jacob and his 12 sons, including Joseph, how God had provided sufficiency for the sacrifice and how from that day they would know him as Jehovah Jireh. Joseph heard these stories. We've got all of them here. And that should build in us the hope that connects us to our Father, that keeps us connected to our dreams. As I've been praying for you as I came down, it's my greatest desire today, and I believe it's a desire that God's planted in me for you this morning, that we would have opportunity to be reconnected to our dreams. That we would have something reignited in us, like a fire relit, that would burn with fervency for the God-sized dreams inside of you that may or may not be forgotten about. And finally, I think it's a great opportunity to respond to the Father and to come into his presence, to receive affirmation as a son or daughter. Because from that place of identity, nothing that the enemy fashions could ever, ever stand against you. So as I close, almost on time, what I'd love to do is I really want to create an opportunity for response. You know, is the band going to do a song or something? Is that normal? Let's do that. Can we do Cornerstone? Would we be able to do that? Is that possible? Because what I want to do, I always, when I open up the Word of God, I always want to create an opportunity for response to it. It's God's Word that brings us in alignment with God's heart. And so I don't know how you want to do that today. But what I want to suggest is as the band lead us in the song, that if you feel you would like prayer, if you would feel like you want to be re-encouraged or reignited or reconnected with God, then as we sing, you can respond for prayer in that moment. Yeah? They can come to the front. You can come to the front, or you can go and sit at the foot of the cross. Okay? Let me pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that we can do life together as a family. And that we can come before you, our Heavenly Father, on Father's Day and acknowledge you as the giver of goodness, love, and promises to your children. And I declare today that you release those promises without limitation, without judgment, and without even us needing to earn them, because they come by your grace, not by what we do. Today, Father, I pray for an opportunity for each one of us, that we would hear the prompting of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and we would respond to it. And today I declare that you are a good, good, loving Father who wants to reconnect his sons and his daughters with the dreams that he planted inside them. Dreams that would lead us to a place of fulfillment and joy and purpose, serving and loving others with the love you've given each one of us. Thank you for this opportunity this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.